fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I have with us again today my good friend Chuck Greenwood. We've been talking about what I think are some very important themes in this year of mercy, and we're approaching the end of the year of mercy here. And Chuck and I, in our conversations together prior to the program, but now on the program, have just felt like we just know there's men and women out there who are fighting and trapped in habit patterns of serious sin, and feel like the mercy that the Holy Father is talking about, the church is talking about, just seems very far away from your life. And so this week we've been talking about what that battle looks like. And today we want to talk about how to come into the light and come into freedom. What's the kind of the wisdom that's there in the life of the church and our own experience that we want to be able to share with you. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them in whatever device you have that'll help you be able to listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. So welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you.
Yes, and I want to thank you for your willingness to just talk about so honestly about your own life and about this battle, because it's so real, the things we've been talking about. And today we're going to talk about coming into the light. We've talked the last few days about what the spiritual battle looks like, feels like, how do we experience it, what's the enemy's strategy, how does the flesh work, how does the world tempt us, and the rest. But how do we step into that freedom in this year of mercy that the Lord wants to give us?
Coming into the light, I mean, the enemy, all of these patterns, they function in darkness. That's how they work.
Right.
If they, when you bring things into the light, you expose them. And that's where the beginning of the journey home.
Yeah, begins. When you say in the darkness, do you mean that they remain hidden in the dark, right? Is that, that's the key point, that when we're battling with serious sin and patterns of sin, we often, with all the dynamics you described of shame and blame and anger and accusation and isolation, all those things, bottom line is all that profound internal experience and battle often remains hidden. No one else knows about it. And that's the darkness that you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where it thrives.
So what do you see the key things to be able to start coming into the light?
Yeah, you asked me this, and I was thinking through this, and it doesn't have to be in any specific order, but obviously, to me, the first thing is if you're sitting there and you're saying, what am I going to do? You can't be afraid. Fear will suck the life right out of you.
Yeah.
If you notice, if every time you've ever really been afraid of something, it takes your breath away.
Yeah.
You can't breathe, you can't think. You say, you've got to take the fear. You've got to trust God, especially in this, like, again, in a time of mercy like this. You have to be the prodigal son. I didn't have a problem with that part because I was like the prodigal son. I was, you know, looking at the hogs and wanted to know if I could eat what they could eat, because I needed to get back. I needed to get back to my father. I was hoping to meet my mother on the journey,
yeah,
the blessed mother on the journey. But you have to bring it into the light. You have to let go of the fear, because you're going to be afraid. This is not an easy journey to make.
And the fear is rooted in, I don't know, if I come into the light, I don't know what this is going to mean.
Yes.
I can't control the outcomes. I can't control what other people are going to think. I can't control, right? I mean, all
Absolutely.
That stuff is in our mind, because we want to control every aspect of this, and we have to be able to let go.
What is the fog? This sin has been very close to you.
Yeah.
It's personal. It's very, very personal.
Yeah.
What happens if I lose it? What if I am successful? What am I going to do? Those are the fears. Those are the things that, and of course, they're being whispered in your ear as you're sitting there behind the wheel saying, I got to do something about this.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, St. Pope John Paul, you know, always said, be not afraid. You know, the be not afraid. I mean, that was something he constantly repeated, because he knew that we needed to hear that from Jesus. Be not afraid.
Fear paralyzes us, too. That's kind
Absolutely.
Of the point, isn't it? It just
it will paralyze you, and you will never take the next steps. And the next step, what I'm going to talk about, is what I call hugging the cactus. You have to embrace your circumstances. Because right now, you can convince yourself, you can rationalize things away, blame other people. It wasn't my fault. And I had some traumatic experiences, I mean, from the time of my birth. that really did shape my life. There's no doubt. But the point is, those are the circumstances. They are what they are. You got to hug the cactus and say, here is where I am. And I'm never going to get to where I want to go if I don't admit up to this.
Yeah.
To myself, to begin with.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're going to have to, like I say, many times it involves bringing it into the light with others.
And sometimes that past or the circumstances that I've, you know, that the habit patterns of sin have developed in my life. I mean, sometimes we get into it because we have weaknesses that come as a result of life and circumstances and all that. We still make the decision. We still are responsible for the decision. But we also have sometimes a lot of serious weaknesses, baggages, dysfunction and stuff that
Absolutely.
We're carrying that make us vulnerable. And so you have to be able to face that reality about yourself.
Yes, you do.
And then have to face the reality of how I've decided to respond to that in my life. I've actually made decisions of how to deal with that, and it's led me into very serious sin, and I have to take ownership of that. I got to hug that too and say, right? Is that part of what you're saying?
Absolutely.
This is me. This is my experience, and this is what I've done with my life and the decisions I've made.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
And if you ever hugged a cactus or touched a cactus, it's very uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know, and that's an uncomfortable process. And it's not, you know, berating yourself like the devil does or degrading yourself in any way. It is, this is what it is. This is what I am. This is what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And I know in spite of that, Jesus died for this very moment that I'm about to go through.
Right.
He died for it.
Right.
Shed his blood for it. So I could at this point in time make a change with grace. That's what he did it for. And so that's why you have the ability to put that cactus around you and say, ouch, yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, then you can't deal with the reality. What is your life?
What does hugging the cactus concretely look like?
It can be a number of different things. Hugging the cactus, first of all, is coming to grips with it yourself. To say, here's where I am. I am in a pattern of serious sin. It's going to cost me my soul if I don't do something different. I'm afraid to get out of it. I'm afraid to even know what it is. I'm afraid what the future holds if I back away. But this is what I've got to do. I have got to accept the reality of what I have done, and I've got to do something about it. And I know I need grace in order mm-hmm. to do that. So I can't fear God. I can't be afraid. I've got to take the pain. It's going to be a painful process. That's why the cactus is prickly and it hurts. And it'd be much easier to back away from it. But that's what it means to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, you mentioned the fear of God. It's interesting, there's that unhealthy fear of God that you've been touching on, which I think you were referring to there, which is God's angry at me and he's stomping around up in heaven and he's so disappointed in me and he doesn't even want to talk to me, basically, that kind of an idea.
Right.
Or all he's going to do is punish me, that's it, you know, something like that. But the healthy fear of God is the fear of a child and a father, that tremendous awe and respect and a desire to not want to offend God is deeply rooted there.
Yes, it is.
But also at another deep level, there is a healthy recognition that the choices I'm making, I've set myself against God.
Yes.
And that's going to produce what you said, the loss of my soul. And that's a frightening reality. It's not God causing, it's not God in his anger coming after
right.
you. It's he's giving you a realization of where you actually stand in relationship to his holiness, right?
Yeah.
But his mercy, and that can frighten us in a good way. But then what he shows us is his son on the cross. And he said, look, my mercy and my love is the antidote to this. Don't run away, run to me and run to my son. He'll give you the grace and the mercy that you need to be able to get free of that habit pattern of sin.
Yeah, I mean,
the guilt and the shame. Yeah.
Jesus' story of the prodigal son. The father runs out to greet him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going over in his mind, I know I've sinned against you. And he's got the whole thing memorized in his mind, and his father sees him coming home.
Yeah.
He saw his heart had changed. He didn't have to know anything else had happened. He wouldn't have been coming home if his heart hadn't changed. And he goes out and runs to greet him and to embrace him.
Yeah. You were saying earlier in the week, and I think what some listeners might be thinking, Chuck, is, okay, I did that once in my life. I had that time of coming back as the prodigal son or daughter. And then I went back and hung around with the pigs again
right.
and squandered it all. Is that prodigal son reality a once-in-a-lifetime chance? Oh. And once it's happened, it's over.
Yeah, right? I was worried about that.
Yeah.
As somebody right. who went up and down, it's amazing. It's the most amazing thing to me about God's mercy. Because if there's truth in your heart, and if your repentance is sincere, it's there, and it's there, and it's there. It's as humans, I just can't embrace that. I don't know how I would do that.
Right.
But God, it's there. And so I've had the prodigal son moment, you know, two or three times in my life mm-hmm. where God says, I know you went back to the slop and put the robe on me and a ring on my finger and slaughtered the calf. And the reason is he was celebrating, again, a conversion. He was celebrating coming back
yeah.
and recognizing that this is the path yeah. that will lead me out of losing my soul,
mm-hmm.
and it is to embrace the cross of Christ.
The Lord's mercy and forgiveness. The apostles say, how many times should I forgive my brother? You know, seven times a day. Jesus yeah. said 70 times, seven times a day. And he knows what a repentant heart looks like.
Yes, he does.
And he will always give his mercy and grace. I mean, it's his mercy and grace that gets the heart in the place in the first place to be able to want to say,
yeah,
I want out of this, Lord. Please help me. Have mercy on me.
In his love
forgive
for me.
Me,
God brought me to my knees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he allowed the circumstances to happen. Thank him so much for that. Because when you're out there, you think you got it together. It's yeah. hard to make that choice. You finally recognize you're brought to your knees with your own sin and your own weakness. And then you end up, like I say, in a Porsche somewhere with tears running down your cheeks saying, you know, what have I done? And that's where you can hear him.
Yeah. So hugging the cactus, what might be next?
The next thing is what I call you need to be a paralytic. And by what this I mean is the story from Scripture where Jesus talks about, you know, he was dining at Peter's house, and somebody brought a paralytic, and they realized that the crowd around them, that house, are never going to get in there. We're never going to be able to do this. And the paralytic gets four guys. He says, look, I got to get in front of this guy. And they go up to the roof, and they take pieces of the roof away, and they lower him down into the presence of the Lord. You have to have that kind of determination to be a paralytic, to say, look, I don't care if I have to take the roof off the church and be lowered into the confessional. I know what I need to do, and I need to start with confession.
Mm-hmm.
I need to confess this sin. That's not the end. That's the beginning.
Right.
That's the flow of grace. That's the grace I need to make the other steps that are going to be necessary not to repeat the pattern of sin again.
Yeah.
Because I know if I come there with a contrite heart, God in his mercy will absolve me. But then I need that grace from that. And I was one who I went to confession week after week after week. It wasn't a one-time thing. But you have to have that kind of determination yeah. of a paralytic.
No, that's good. Those are good images. Hugging the cactus and being a paralytic. And I have some questions about that, being a paralytic and other dimensions of that story that I think apply, but we're just running out of time. Time goes so fast. Friends, Chuck's going to be back with us again tomorrow. I want to encourage you to tune in again. And if you know friends who are struggling or children or grandchildren, have them tune into the program because I think it's going to be very helpful as we continue to talk about how do we enter into the freedom and the mercy of God and really walk in it. Friends, have a great day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.